This is the September 7th, 2011 afternoon session. It's 2 p.m. Please call the roll.
Saltzman? Here. Leonard?
Here.
Fritz?
Here.
Fish?
Here.
Adams?
The mayor will be here shortly, so he asked me as president to open up the matter today, which is item number 949. Please read the title.
Amend time, place, and manner regulations of establishments that sell and serve alcoholic beverages code to expand authority to allow certain activities be considered nuisance activities and make changes to the violation and abatement process.
Thank you, and I'll have staff come up as I do the opening. This is within my bureau in the Office of Neighborhood Involvement, our liquor management program. And Teresa Marchetti is our wonderful staff person, doing an amazing job on that. So to frame this matter that's before us today, the Oregon Liquor Control Commission has preemptive authority over liquor licenses. The legislature allows local governments to regulate the time, place, and manner in which alcohol is sold. The Time, Place, and Manner Code in Portland was enacted by the City Council in 2004 to provide an avenue to address chronic livability issues associated with problem liquor outlets. And many thanks to Commissioner Randy Leonard, who was a leader in this and pressed the council at the time, supported the neighborhoods, and this is something that was considered risky at the time, and he pushed through with it, and indeed it's been spectacularly successful. So thank you, Commissioner Leonard. The current code has been effective in addressing chronic problems at locations. It consolidates complaints for review. Neighbors have only one place to call, and the issues are investigated by all the bureaus represented on the liquor license team. The process is a reasonable one to a responsive licensee, requiring a plan of action and allowing them to utilize city resources to regain control of their premises. If they are not responsive, the code provides legal recourse to address problems via the code compliance process. Although it has been effective, my staff, the Oversight Committee, and the Liquor License Team staff have identified several areas that the current code is insufficient to address problems arising out of establishments licensed to sell alcohol. For instance, in January 2010, a visiting police officer visiting a licensed location saw lines of cocaine laid out for use on the bar, and there was no recourse to hold the management responsible to address the issue through the time, place, and manner code. Very interesting. Currently, we can only include such an incident if it also involves disorderly or disruptive behavior. And clearly, the proprietor is not allowed to sell or provide that illegal substances, but in an instance like that, there was no way to find out who was responsible for that behavior. We've also seen an increase in violence in bars in the last year and in serious life-threatening incidents. In these particular cases, a licensee should be required to respond to address the public safety issues before more harm is done. It is important to reiterate again that most authority for liquor licensing rests with the state and the Oregon Liquor Control Commission. Senator Jackie Dingfelder and Representative Tina Kotek worked with our government relations team and our liquor control staff and neighborhoods and our entire council to try to improve the state regulations in 2011. We will continue to press that in subsequent sessions. Senator Dingfelder and Representative Kotek have sent a letter of support for this ordinance, which is in the record. So now Teresa Marchetti, our liquor licensing specialist, will explain how what we're asking to do is broaden the authority slightly to address other blatantly illegal behaviors and to allow for earlier interventions in chronic cases. Teresa.
Thank you very much. Mayor Adams and commissioners, I'm Teresa Marchetti. I'm the City of Portland's liquor licensing specialist. And today I'm here to talk briefly about I'm going to give a general overview of how the time, place, and manner works as we process these cases, starting with that to better illustrate some of the changes that we would like to implement and that we're proposing today and why they're necessary. As Commissioner Fritz already said, the time, place, and manner code is our single tool to deal with licensed locations at the local level and at problems that are occurring both at the livability standpoint and more serious public safety issues. So first of all, The liquor license team is made up of several bureau representatives, myself, the Portland Police Bureau Drugs and Vice Division, the Neighborhood Response Team officers, the Noise Control Office, and it also encompasses other participants as well, the Fire Bureau, the Bureau of Development Services, Multnomah County, and sometimes OLCC as well, in evaluating complaints. When the liquor license team receives complaints, we substantiate them to see if they meet the current definition of a nuisance activity, how they're related specifically to the premise, and also in what form of documentation we've received them in, whether it's been a police report or a complaint form or neighborhood track-it forms. If there are three substantiated complaints that meet the criteria for a nuisance activity and also are substantiated through the neighbor or the police officer is willing to testify, then that equals a violation currently. So the current definition of nuisance activities encompass seven different behaviors. Those include disorderly conduct, noise from amplified music, offensive littering, drinking in public, blocking vehicle traffic, alcohol in parks, and shots fired. And what it means when a license is in violation of the time, place, and manner code is that then they have to respond within 10 days to enter a formal abatement plan with the City of Portland through my office and the Drugs and Vice Division at the Portland Police Bureau. And this plan is very specific. It addresses the specific nuisance activities that have occurred. So if it's disorderly conduct, we're going to be looking at previous or security protocols. We're going to be looking at what their overall code of conduct is, how they control and manage their premise. If it's over-service issues, we're going to be looking at the way that they serve alcohol monitors, monitoring intoxication, those kinds of things. It's also temporary. It's a 90-day period of time in which resources are offered from the Crime Prevention Program, from the Portland Police. And so they have every opportunity to take care of the issues and abate the issues. If they do not, if they refuse to respond or they refuse to follow the terms of the abatement, then it's also enforceable through a code hearing. And again, we don't have any authority over the license itself, but what through the code hearings office, we can ask for the hours or the days to be restricted for on the licensed premise, require them to hire additional personnel, those kinds of things. So in the last 2 years, I've provided a summary for you on the PowerPoint of the time, place, and manner activity through 2009 and 2010 and 2010 and 2011. In 2009 to 2010, we evaluated 65 licensed premises. 23 resulted in violations. 34 were through informal processes. If we can, we will try to address a location when we see that they're beginning to have issues. Out of those 23 violations, 16 of the abatement plans were successful. 4 resulted in code hearings and stipulated agreements in which they were mandated by the code officer to restrict their operation in some way. In 2010 and 2011, we evaluated 60 licensed premises for the time, place, and manner violation. 14 were issued violations, and of those, 8 were successfully abated. 4 had to go to code hearings, and 2 were closed or changed their ownership before the end of the abatement period. So the changes that we are asking for have come after we have gone through this process, and I have identified certain areas where we're just not as effective as we feel like we could be. One is early intervention. A lot of times what we'll be seeing, we'll be following a location that is having problems that are escalating but doesn't quite meet the threshold of the code for us to be able to compel them to come to the table. It also, the changes that we're asking for address illegal activities that are not currently in the code, and also allow us to address in a better way serious incidents. First of all, the change in the timeline for the violation. Currently, if 3 nuisance activities occur in 30 days, that's what equals a violation. We are proposing to change that to 3 nuisances in 60 days. We're also asking that 1 serious incident that involves either the loss of life or the threat of loss of life equal a violation immediately. What this will help us do is avoid the 2 and 30 waiting game. And if you can see on the PowerPoint, I've illustrated an actual licensee's timeline in which it started off with some low-level offensive littering, disorderly conduct, escalated to a bit, and ultimately ended in a homicide. but it never quite reached the threshold for us to be able to compel them. That doesn't mean that we weren't meeting with them, trying to address their behaviors on a voluntary level, but sometimes that's not enough. It also allows the city to address these particular behaviors and abatement of the nuisance activities that I'm going to illustrate for you. Again, I want to reiterate that everything that we have, the nuisance activities that we've added are illegal behaviors. What is not a nuisance activity is behavior that is not illegal. Even some things that are concerning to neighborhoods and that do impact livability but are not currently illegal are still not defined as nuisance activities. So the additional nuisance activities that we're asking for are illegal drug activity and unlawful prostitution procurement. In 8 of the 60 locations that we evaluated, they also had issues with drug activity that we were not able to specifically address. 3 of the locations that we evaluated in 2010 and 2011 also had issues with prostitution that we were not able to address. Additionally, the occurrence of serious incidents is something that we also feel like we should be able to address, and those are illustrated for you as well. These include criminal homicide, assault by means of a weapon or motor vehicle, assault that causes serious physical injury, recklessly endangering another person, any felony sexual offense in the first degree, unlawful use of a weapon. And the reason for this really is in the last year that we have seen an increase in overall violence and violence at licensed locations. That since January of 2011, we've had 4 patron-involved stabbings at licensed locations and 6 gang-affiliated shootings at bars. And the nuisance activities that are defined as a serious incident are defined in the statutory as incidents that involve serious injury or death. We held, just for your information, we did hold 2 public meetings in June and July of 2011, and we did have overall positive feedback for the changes that we're bringing forward. There were written comments that were submitted that raised several concerns, and we did address those. One was initially we had a cost recovery. We proposed some changes to the cost to allow us to recover cost in the event that we ended up having to go fully to code hearings and we were not successful in abatement. That was ultimately removed. We also had fire code violations included in the nuisance activities initially. We have good tools and a strong partnership with the Fire Bureau to be able to address fire code violations already. The serious incidents as well were more further defined. We did have information from licensees that they didn't feel like they understood exactly what would be defined as serious, and so we called them out specifically in the code to be as clear as possible. And the drug activity initially included manufacturing, and we more narrowly tailored it to only have to do with drug use and distribution. So the time, place, and manner process is really a proven, reasonable process. It allows licensees to utilize the resources of the city. It promotes healthy businesses and safe businesses. And it addresses both public safety and livability concerns. And if a licensee is responsive, as you've seen from the information that we've presented, the violation goes away, and ultimately they're left with a stronger business. And it is our only tool in Portland for communities and police to address chronic problems at licensed locations. And if you have any questions, I would be happy to answer.
What is unlawful prostitution procurement?
It's as defined in city code.
It applies to the licensee?
14A.40. Right. So if unlawful prostitution procurement was occurring at the premise as a product of its operation, either by its employees or patrons, then it is something that we could talk about. We could address through abatement.
The word unlawful kind of implies that there may be some kind of lawful prostitution procurement. But
I think that wasn't
the intent.
And just make sure I'm clear, this has our enforcement tools are related to the licensee, not the facility, correct?
What gives us jurisdiction through this code is the fact that they are a licensee. Our authority is over the operation, though, not specifically the liquor license.
And it is the owner of the actual business as opposed to the owner of the property?
Owner of the business, correct.
There's in the city, from time to time, there are limited venues that sort of go in and out of, that change operators, and the venue itself has a history of being a place of conflict for gang violence and such. And so we're in discussions with the city attorney's office of how to deal with those, and that, but that's on a different legal path than what we're talking about today, as I understand.
Correct.
Right. Thank you.
Any
other discussion? All right, anyone wish to testify?
We have one person signed up, Susan Pierce.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Did you want to add anything?
No, thank you.
Okay.
It's kind of fun. Good afternoon, Mayor Adams, commissioners. My name is Susan Pierce. I'm a member of the Hosford Abernathy Neighborhood Development Association Board, and I speak for that board. I'm handing out to you two handouts. One is a copy of a letter that I sent a month or two ago regarding this issue that has been changed only. I changed the date to today. But just in case you misplaced my previous one, the other one is some background information on one of the offending establishments in our neighborhood, the 720 Club, with a list of the complaints. This was one of the places that was eventually closed, I believe, in the 2009-10 year, but it may have been 10-11. Hand would like to voice our support for the proposed changes to the time, place, and manner regulations under the review by the City of Portland, and thank you to Commissioner Leonard for that original ordinance and to Commissioner Fritz for the proposals. The Hand neighborhood has many active businesses that provide jobs, goods, and services, and places of entertainment. Many of these establishments are destinations for people from outside the neighborhood. Maintaining a safe environment for everyone is important to the livability of the neighborhood, success of our businesses, and our ability to attract visitors to patronize them. Residents and businesses coexist in the dense fabric that makes our neighborhood vibrant and exciting and lovely and a great place to live. At the same time, there is the potential for tension and conflict. Hand has supported the TPM since its conception. The current TPM process has been used successfully to curb behavior problem patterns by management and patrons of bars and pubs, assisting managers to provide better control and become better neighbors, and on one occasion resulting in the closure of the bar, and that's what you have in front of you, strengthening the ability for the city, to deal with nuisance activities related to business is an important protection for everyone. However, we have heard from residents and businesses who are troubled by nuisance licensees that the current TPM does not include some of the most problematic activities that can be difficult to document through events with any given 30-day periods, and they become weary of having to start the process over and sometimes more than once. We therefore welcome...
Another 30 seconds,
okay. We therefore welcome the proposed additions of defined nuisance to the list, including the TPM ordinance, included in the TPM ordinance, and the extension of the reporting period to 60 days. We appreciate the proposal to consider prior notices when complaint is filed. We believe that the fines to reimburse the city, well, I'm disappointed to hear that was taken out because I thought that was only appropriate, or we did, making businesses accountable for operations, and I'll let you read the rest.
Thank you, Ms. Pierce. Always good to see you.
It's always good to see you. Thank you.
All right. Unless there's additional discussion... This moves to a second reading next week. All right.
Thank you, everybody who came, and thank you to Amy Archer and Teresa McKetty in the office, and our uniformed officer, too. We have a great partnership with the police. Thank you.
We're in recess till tomorrow, 2 p.m.